Praise God. John chapter 16. And we're going to start reading at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove, or that word means convince, the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Hallelujah. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Amen. There are several other renderings of this that always say the judgment to come. Praise the Lord, reminding us of what is going to happen in the end of this age. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I do know about you. You wouldn't be here on Wednesday night listening to an Arkansas hillbilly preacher, amen, unless you wanted to be a part of a Holy Ghost church. Glory to God. I know that you have a desire for God to move and pour out His Spirit every time that we come together. I love being Pentecostal. I mean, there are times when we come together and everybody is just, you can't hardly even say anything. You're just weeping and your hands are lifted in the air. There's nobody running or dancing or anything else, but everybody's just weeping and lost in the presence of God. And then there's times when we come to the Lord's house and God begins to just manifest His presence and people are dancing and rejoicing and responding to the moving of the Spirit of God. But in all of those instances, it's for a purpose. God is not in the circus business. He doesn't move so we can just feel doodads go up and down our back. God always is moving and working for a purpose. As pastor, I always walk around our church and pray this prayer. God, convince men of sin. Convince them of righteousness. And convince them of the judgment to come. When I walk around our church there at Heritage, I walk around that sanctuary and I pray, Lord, as people drive by this church for reasons that they cannot explain, Lord, cause them to be drawn to this church. I couldn't tell you the number of times that people have said, you know, I was just driving by the church and I felt something just grab a hold of me and pull me to this church. I want you to know God answers specific prayer. One of the reasons that we don't get a lot of answer to prayer in some circles is because we just throw up some generic prayer. Listen, God wants you to pray with your intellect, as well as praying in the Spirit. God wants you to ask Him for specific things. And I'm telling you, you talk about filling your heart with joy like I preached the other night. It gives you joy when God answers your prayers specifically. Amen. And then I pray, God, when they get on this property, let the Spirit of God draw them into the sanctuary. When they walk in that door, let your Spirit begin to convict them of their sin. Lord, when they get into the sanctuary, convince them of the things in their life that are not pleasing to God. And then I pray, Lord, pull them to that altar. Convince them, God, hallelujah, of the judgment that is to come, and let their life be changed forever. Glory to God. I believe in a Holy Ghost church, there is a conviction of sin. You know, we live in a generation today where they're just going to pat sin on the back. And right here in this county, you would have never thought that here in Kentucky, that there would be such a falling away. But it is happening right in front of our eyes. It is happening, amen, in such a fast speed. It's almost more than what we can comprehend. I know in Des Moines, Iowa, we're supposed to be kind of considered part of the Bible Belt. But in Des Moines, Iowa, there was a young lady who came to church. And one Sunday morning, I saw her when she walked in the door. And we sung the first song. And brother, I seen the tears come to her eye, and I said, glory to God, we got her. Praise God. And Later, she came to the altar that morning. Let me tell you what happened in her life. She is the only Christian in her family. She was raised as a Buddhist. She's Chinese. And some friends had been talking to her about church, and she was searching for truth because she knew she wasn't finding it in Buddhism. And so she went to a large church there in Des Moines, and the pastor got up one Sunday while she was there. The pastor got up and said, "There is nothing wrong with someone being homosexual." This is a mainline denomination, folks. The founder would roll over in his grave if he knew what was happening. Said, "There's nothing wrong with being a homosexual. In fact, God probably created you that way. And it's just now manifesting itself." Brother, that ought to make every one of us in here grit our teeth and say, that is not the way that we believe. As time went on, this same pastor got in the pulpit and said, not only is it okay to be homosexual, but God will allow preachers to be homosexual. And this minister said, "I am a lesbian." That young lady got up out of that church and walked out and said, Christianity must not be the answer, because there is no God that would allow something so unnatural and bizarre and weird and contrary to nature. Another friend told her about our church and said the pastor, he preaches against sin. And she came to church, and the first song, the Spirit of God arrested her heart. And Dee and I had the great opportunity and privilege of praying Chief through to the presence of God. God gloriously saved her. She had got into some trouble, was on her way to prison. The Lord miraculously worked that situation. How today, this has been almost 4 years now, that she is completely clean, hallelujah, in love with God with all of her heart. I'm going to tell you, the world is looking for a church that will stand against sin. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what in sin? The longing and desire of a sinner's heart is to be set free from that filthy, nasty flesh, to be set free from the past, to be set free from all the things that they've done wrong. And you and I, brother, have the answer in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Hallelujah. And in a Holy Ghost church, sin is always dealt with. Hallelujah. I was preaching one morning. God really dealt with me to preach against fornication. And when I got through preaching, it was a man about 6'3", maybe 6'4", came. He was about my size. His arms were longer than me. Trust me, I was sizing him up because he was ready to take my head off. And so when he met me in the altar, he started screaming at me, "Preacher, what are you talking about? Fornication won't send you to hell." Said, "I've been going to an Assembly of God church for years, and my pastor's never said one thing about it." Well, I'm going to tell you, my stomach turned when I heard that. I said, "I don't believe that, first of all. But I said, second of all, if he doesn't preach against sin, God have mercy on that man's soul." He started getting more violent. He pulled his hand back and clenched his fist. You could see his knuckles turning white. So I thought, if he's going to hit me, I don't want him to be able to swing the whole way. So I just grabbed a hold of his back and pulled him right up next to me. I don't like getting that close to guys, but I didn't want to get hit. So I got about this close to his face, and I started talking to him. And I said, "Listen, God loves you too much to leave you the way that you are." Amen. Friend, God loves sinners too much to let them stay the way that they are. Amen. I don't believe in standing in people's face every day of their life and trying to make them feel like they're horrible and like they're wicked and like there's no hope for them. But I believe that every child of God ought to live in such a way that it convicts the lost. Hallelujah. There ought to be a conviction of sin that exists in the heart of a Holy Ghost church. I believe London Pentecostal Church. I believe this. I'm not just saying it. I'll give an account to God for what I say. But I believe with all of my heart that this is a Holy Ghost church. Hallelujah. Oh, but wouldn't you say, Brother Snow, I want to pray for more of the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God to be real in our church so that God can arrest the heart of sinners. Hallelujah. In fact, would you agree with me right now? Father, we agree together in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray as people drive past this church, oh God, every day until the rapture of the church, I pray there'll be conviction, Lord, that'll draw them into this parking lot. God, draw them in for reasons that they cannot understand, they cannot comprehend. Bring them into this house. Oh God, I pray that you will reveal to them their sin and let them see every bit of it nailed to the cross of Christ. Let them get liberty and freedom in this church, Lord, we pray. Let this be a Holy Ghost church that convinces men of their sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, there's something inside of our heart that makes us run from sin. Glory to God. Heard about a young man who was married for some time, had children, and was involved in one homosexual relationship after another. And somebody come to me and said, "What do you think about that young man?" I said, "He never was born again." They looked at me like I was crazy. They said, "Oh no, he prayed in the altars. He asked the Lord to forgive him of his sin." I said, "He prayed off conviction." Brother, when you get born again, when the Spirit comes in, sin runs out. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? The sin begins to run out of your life. There's something inside of you that makes you want to run from sin. If you're a young person and you keep running back to sin, if you find yourself engrossed in sin, you need to come to the altar for another dip. God wants to set you free. Hey, did you hear what I said? When you are born again, there's something inside of you that'll make you want to run from sin. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost Church convinced the world of sin, of righteousness. Well, that's something that a lot of folks don't want to hear about today. We just recently, boy, this is great that this is on the internet. We recently lost a family, and one of the main reasons was they felt like that there was constantly a dealing with their standards and with their flesh. Though, Brother Jarvis, honestly, most of my preaching and teaching on separation from the world is done in my office. Amen. Now, I preached, come out. I preached 1 year. I preached the whole year solid. Every Sunday, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now, I wasn't talking about outward standards necessarily. I was talking about get out of the world. Run from it. I'm telling you, this world is about to fall apart. It's about to crumble. I was talking about running from sin and getting away from the influences of sin. But let me tell you, people today, there are a lot of folks that can find a church anywhere. They can find them right here in London. They don't even have to drive out of the city limits. They can find a church where the pastor will pat them on the back and make them feel real good about their flesh. Hey, a Holy Ghost church deals with righteousness. It deals with rightness between you and God. Listen, I still believe that God wants to sanctify our lives. The word sanctify simply means to be separated from the world and set apart to God. Oh, don't you love that? We're a peculiar people. We've been called by the Lord to be brought into His presence for Him to love us, to minister to us, and to give us the power to go and minister to others. Oh, thank God He loves us enough that He will not leave us the way that we are. There have been a few things the Lord has dealt with me about that He probably has never dealt with you about. Amen. My grandmother was one of the most dedicated Pentecostal women that I've ever known. She'd never heard anybody teach on playing cards, and she would take regular playing cards, and she'd play Old Saul. Maybe some of y'all do that. And so I grew up, you know, playing that. We never played poker, but we played Old Saul. I don't know if you ever even heard of that before. But I think they've even got it on computers. You know, they've done that since the 80s. But I was listening to James Dobson one day, more of a Baptist-leaning brother. And he said, I've made such a stand against the devastation of gambling that he said, I've never allowed playing cards in my home, poker cards in my home. And when he said that, Brother Jarvis, I felt it. I felt the Lord put his finger on my heart. And the Lord said, you can't do that. Now, I'm not going to get up to even tonight. If you do that, I'm not condemning you. But I know what the Lord spoke to me. There are going to be times when God deals with you about something he may not deal with anyone else. That happens in a Holy Ghost church, and thank God for it. I've got some folks in my church that are too strict. Amen. They're too strict for their own selves. Amen. And then I've got some that don't have any standards. I believe it like Summerall said. He said, if you don't have any standards, borrow mine for a while until you get some. Because you're going to have to learn to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Righteousness in a Holy Ghost. Oh, some of y'all are getting nervous, afraid I'm going to get on the clothesline. You got a good pastor. Yeah, you don't need me to preach on that. We are living in a generation where that is laughed at and scoffed at. It's mimicked. But in a Holy Ghost church, there is a standard of righteousness. Hallelujah. There is a heart that says, I want to please God in everything that I say, in everything that I do, in the way that I present myself to the world. I better be careful. I'm going to start meddling. I'm afraid I'm going to chase a rabbit here. Okay, here it goes. I'm going to go ahead and do it. It bothers me when Christians go to a restaurant and try to witness, leave a track, and don't leave a tip. Oh, that bothers me. That's not being righteous. That's being a hypocrite. Amen. God, give us some folks that darn aren't in the business of trying to impress everybody around them, but their heart's desire is to please the living God. I'm telling you, first, hallelujah, there's coming a day that we all will stand before God. We'll give an account. I believe it's just a matter of days, Brother James, that we will stand before the living God. And on that day when we stand before Him. I don't want my own righteousness. I want the righteousness of Christ. I want it to be true holiness. Amen. I want it to be a spirit of humility and brokenness in the presence of the living God. And in a Holy Ghost church, there is constant convincing and conviction of righteousness. D.L. Moody preached against riding bicycles. I'm not going to preach against that. But the reason he started preaching against bicycles is because a lot of his members were getting bikes, taking their families on the weekends, and going riding instead of coming to the Lord's house. He saw something that he needed to deal with. Amen. And I don't think any of us would deny that D.L. Moody was a man of God. Had a heart to do something for the kingdom of God. God, give us that kind of passion. Give us that kind of heart. We may not please everybody. Everybody may not pat us on the back and say, oh, we love the way you do that. But let me tell you something. It'll save our babies. It'll keep our babies. Hallelujah. It'll keep them in the things of God. Many of the things that we do are for protection for our family. Amen. Righteousness. And finally, I want you to look at the judgment to come. What is Christ speaking of here? He's speaking of the things that are going to happen in the end time. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 24. In the end time, verse 5, there are going to be many false prophets and false Christ that will arise. You know, in our generation, we've seen Jim Jones, we've seen David Koresh, we've seen Reverend Moon, we've seen others in just recent years with this very strict movement, a split off of the Mormon movement, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the men that were taking 11 and 12-year-old girls to be their wives. Can you imagine a dad being dumb enough to give his little baby to a pervert like that? I'm telling you, we are living in a generation of false prophets and false Christ. Those that followed after Jim Jones, that drunk the poison that killed them, followed him to their death. In our generation, I believe, brothers and sisters, he only had, 500 or so followers, I believe. Wasn't that how many that died on that day, or was there more? Pardon? 900. 900. That's horrible. That's a crazy number. But listen to this. There are leaders today that have many more followers than that. But I believe that the Lord allowed that to be so public to remind us of what is happening in our world, to let us know Jesus Christ is coming soon. Tell somebody behind you right now, you need to pay attention. Jesus is coming. I'm going to tell you, in a Holy Ghost church, there is preaching on the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Jim Jones was preaching a revival at Dayton, Ohio, at the church that Brother Hurst pastors. This was years before Brother Hurst got there, and it was actually in a different location. And Jim Jones was standing in the hallway, and he heard two sisters talking about their sickness, and he acted like that night that he was giving a word of knowledge, and he called them up to the front, and one of the ladies went and said, "Hey, we saw him. He heard this conversation. He's a fake." The pastor called him out in front of everybody and said, "Hit the road." Listen, we need some more folks with discernment in the hour that we live in today. Everything on television that says Jesus doesn't necessarily mean it's Christian. Amen, Brother Snow. Go ahead and preach. Everything on the radio that says it's Christian doesn't necessarily mean that it's Christian. Everything that says that it's promoting Jesus Christ, and every personality that's trying to say they're promoting Jesus Christ, doesn't mean that they are Christian. Let me tell you, something happened here a few years back that stirred me to the core. There was a particular pastor. He pastors one of the largest charismatic churches in our country. And you've probably heard me tell this story. It just hit me right in the gut. But Larry King was interviewing this preacher. I was getting my tire fixed, and I was sitting there in front of a group of people. And, you know, it's not really intelligent to talk to a TV, but I couldn't help it. He said, "Now, there's a lot of preachers like Jerry Falwell that say that, remember when he was alive, he said that Jesus is the only way to heaven. What do you say?" "Well, Larry, I wouldn't want to offend anybody. We have Muslims that come to our church, and we have Buddhists, and we have a lot of Jewish folks, and I love those people when they come to church, and so I wouldn't want to hurt any feelings." Man, before I realized what I was doing, I said, "Brother, get some guts and preach the truth." And then I realized I was in a room full of people. And this lady, she said, "Oh, I like him. I like him. I like him. I like him. He's so kind, and he's non-controversial. It don't hurt anybody's feelings. He's sweet. I like that he doesn't make people feel bad about what they believe." I said, "Hey, that's great." I said, "That's a great idea. I tell you what, let's start training our firemen. And let's train them." Now, I know that house is on fire, and at any moment, you could die. But I don't want to offend you. I wouldn't want to hurt your feelings. I wouldn't want to make you feel bad. If you want to stay in the fire, you can stay in the fire." She said, I get your point. I said, it's not my point. It's Jesus's point. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When George W. Bush, I know we got some George W. lovers here, I'm sure. Hey, man, I hate to bust your bubble, but when George W. Bush was the president and he held hands with the Muslims and prayed to Allah with the rest of them, it made me sick to my stomach. It happened right after 9/11. You didn't hear a lot reported about it. They didn't say a lot about it, but I heard him with my own ears talking about how we've got to come together, all these faiths, we've got to pray, and that God is really, you know, just whatever you choose for Him to be, baloney, baloney, double baloney, Oscar Mayer baloney. There's one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, friend, we are living in the last moments of time. I feel the burden coming into this church tonight. I don't want to preach too long. I'm trying not to preach the everlasting God, but I feel a burden in my heart to stir this church one more time. We don't have much time to win our loved ones. We don't have many more missions conferences to get this word out around the world. There are false Christs and false prophets that are rising in our generation. Second thing is there will be wars. Look at verse 6. We're going to hear about wars and rumors of wars. There are rumors of wars in all areas of the world. They occur frequently thanks to the instant media coverage and the availability of a multitude of 24-hour news sources. Nation will rise against nation. In verse 7, more people have been killed in warfare in this century. Listen, in this century than at any other time in history. Right now, the Middle East. I'm telling you, when they threw their arms around the Muslim Brotherhood, I thought, what in the world have you been smoking? What in the world have you been drinking? I'm talking about the leadership of our country that would open their arms and embrace the Muslim Brotherhood. Let me tell you, that's what's produced the death of our ambassador in Libya today. It's our embracing this movement and just letting it go. Let me tell you, the Middle East is a cauldron. It is ready to explode. It is ready to bubble over. I want you to know Ezekiel's prophecy is ringing loud in this preacher's ear. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost turns up the volume every day. We are living in the time when Russia is going to make a league with the Arab nations and come down against Israel. I believe, brothers and sisters, we are on the steps, hallelujah, of the last moment of time. We are there, and in a Holy Ghost church, the Spirit convinces us that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Famines in verse 7. Not only is nation going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, that's ethnic groups, but there will be famines. How many of you noticed the expulsion of the white farmers in South Africa a few years ago that people just kind of winked at? Do you realize now those farms that were producing much needed food for Africa now produce over 25% of the world's drugs are produced from the fields that fed the world? I'm going to tell you, the devil's mean. He's cruel. He's going to starve millions more in Africa. He's going to kill those little babies. He don't care. He's ruthless. But it's happening in our generation. It's happening right in front of our eyes. Amen. Over 5 billion on this planet. And I'm telling you, the famine is going to come. I need to say something tonight. I have felt this burning in my heart for several years. The economic crisis was no surprise to me. I seen it coming. Amen. Brothers, sisters, it's not over. I'm not causing a panic, but I'm telling you, it's not over. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter. Amen. Do we need to do something about it? Do we have a responsibility as Christians? Yes, but evil men are going to wax worse and worse, and I'm telling you, I am a very optimistic person. I believe God is able to do anything, but I also know that the Word of God cannot be changed. And we are in those moments that God wrote about. Evil men are waxing worse and worse, and the economy is going to get worse, folks. It's not going to get better. Hey, man, we may see a few little spikes, a few little surges, but I'm telling you, the economy is going to get worse. If your confidence is in your pocketbook, you're going to be a miserable person. Hallelujah. But I don't believe your confidence is there, or you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night. Glory to God. How many of you just lift your hands in this room right now and just tell Him, Lord, my confidence is in You. My hope is in You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my peace, my joy, my victory, my consolation is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, is there anyone else in this room tonight that will say, I feel the Holy Ghost telling me Jesus is coming soon? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7. Not only is nation going to rise against nation, but look at the end of that verse. There is going to be an outbreak of earthquakes in diverse places. That means consistently everywhere. Do you realize from the late 1800s, early 1900s, there was one major world earthquake? One. In 1948, when Israel became a nation, there were 51 earthquakes that registered 6.0 or greater on the Richter scale. Do you realize that on an average, in the first years of us passing into the 2000s, amen, do you realize that there are almost 2,000 earthquakes a year that are 6.0 or greater? Did you just hear about what happened last week in China, where many that died in that earthquake? And a couple of weeks before, and a couple of weeks before in Iran, the earthquakes that are taking, I'm telling you, friend, Jesus Christ is coming. Why did you bring up 1948? Because Israel is God's time clock. And in 1948, when Israel became a nation, when they came back together again, the Lord said, this generation shall not pass until the coming of the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. 1948, here we are in 2012. I don't know about you, but I'm listening. Glory to God. I said I'm listening. Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. We are living in the last moments of time. There will be tribulation. Amen. And we are seeing the beginning of this. One prisoner that was just released last week from Iran, for sharing his faith in Jesus Christ. And we say, oh, that happens over there. Do you realize that there are laws right now that they're trying to pass where they can put us preachers in jail for standing and preaching against homosexuality? It's going to be considered a hate crime. You know, for years now, I've said when people complain about them making the jails nice, I've said, oh, no, make them nice as they can. I might be sharing a cell one of these days. Because our nation is getting to that point. Do we think that as Americans, we're going to be able to escape all the persecution that's taking place in the world? No, sir. No, sir. Amen. We are living in the last moments of time. I say with John, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The gospel is going to be preached throughout the world. Look at verse 14. This gospel is going to be published. It's going to be preached throughout the world. Do you realize that right now while I'm preaching, the gospel is going forth all over this world through media, through men that are on the ground, through publications, through those that are preaching on the internet, those that are preaching on television, those that are ministering on the radio. Right now, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going around the world. I need to shout it one more time. Jesus is coming. Oh, in a Holy Ghost church, He reminds us that He is coming. Hallelujah. Paul Paul said about the last days. We look there at what Jesus said, but Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said there was going to be a great falling away. We've seen that in our generation. There is just a mass running to this ecumenical movement, and just where we can just all hold hands together and sing Kumbaya, and we'll go to heaven saying Buddha, or we'll go to heaven saying Muhammad, or we'll go to heaven saying that we're this, that, or the other. Brothers and sisters, I'm not going to drink that Kool-Aid. I'm not going to swallow that lie. I'm living, hallelujah, in a Holy Ghost church that knows that Jesus is coming and knows what is right and what is wrong. Amen. Sister, would you come to the music tonight? Paul said there would be a great falling away. We're seeing it. Now, the church that I pastor is a church, should I say this, Brother Jarvis? Will I get stoned at First Pentecostal if I tell everybody I pastor an Assembly of God church? Okay, y'all still love me? Good. Good deal. One brother's mouth just flew open. Such shock, I could tell he was just taken aback. Amen. In the Assemblies of God, in the 70s, when I was coming up as a child, I was saved in Assembly of God Church, filled with the Holy Ghost in Assembly of God Church, called to preach in the Assembly of God Church. I found my wife in Assembly of God Church at Bible Holiness in Neosho, Missouri. I'm such a foreigner in the Assemblies of God. I stick out like a sore thumb. The preaching, they don't want preaching against sin. They want this seeker-friendly stuff. Man, you read some of the documents of our founding Assembly of God pastors. They never saw this coming, Brother Greg. They never saw this coming. We've come a long way, baby. We have. The Baptist movement, do you realize, when I first read this statistic, I thought, no, that's not possible. I checked it out. 1,300 Baptist pastors per month leave the ministry to never return. 1,300. How can that even be possible? Do you realize the illustration that I gave earlier about a pastor saying they were homosexual, that happened in a Methodist church? You know, when I was a kid in the 80s, we used to go to the Methodist revival, and I'm telling you, those guys preached. They called people out of sin. They dealt with sin. I'm telling you, folks, it's happened in our generation. There has been a tremendous falling away. There's a hunger for political savvy among the people instead of a desire to preach the truth and please Him that's going to judge us in the last day. I'm telling you, not only were the founders of some of these movements be ashamed, but my God, Jesus is going to be ashamed of ministers in this generation that refuse to stand. Oh God, never let that be said. Never let that be said. A First Pentecostal church in London, Kentucky. God, let us stay a church that's on fire with the Holy Ghost. Will you lift your hands with me? Hallelujah. Will you pray that right now? God, keep us on fire. The brothers sung it tonight and led the song. Oh God, keep us on fire for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's other things. I'm just going to leave my notes and just tell you a few more things that the Lord put on my heart. You realize that Revelation prophesies of a 200 million man army that'll march in the last days of time. Y'all realize that? 200 million, not 2 million, but 200 million. Before 1960, that wasn't even possible. But in the 60s, China formed a military that is off the charts. Technology would have to increase to a place to where the mark of the beast could be something to where one centralized government could keep up with everything that goes on in the world. Back in the 90s, they started placing trackers in children's hands. And because of the body temperature and because of the way that the body is made, the only place that microchip could survive and stay consistent was in the right hand and in the forehead of those children. Man, that was in national news for almost a year in the 90s. What was that? Is that the trumpet? Glory to God. It could be that real. We were pastoring in Illinois, or assistant pastors in Illinois. And Christian come running into the house one day. Christian was about 4 or 5 years old. She come running into the house. She said, "Mama, get ready. I just heard the trumpet. Jesus is coming." She had heard a train that was going by. It gave a different sound on the whistle. Man, when she said that, I said, "Glory to God. I want my babies to live that way. I want them to be waiting and ready." Sarah was a little older. We were preaching revival out in Oklahoma. And I had a man, Brother Smith, was sitting there with his trumpet. And nobody knew about it. And I told him at a certain point in the sermon to blow that trumpet. Nobody died of a heart attack, for those of you that are concerned about self-safety things. When he let off that trumpet, Sarah got so excited. She leaned up. She turned around and looked. She went, "Oh, I thought it was the trumpet." Just a little girl. Amen. Hey, what would happen tonight if the trumpet sounded? Would you be out of here? Glory to God. I'm going to tell you what saddens my heart. I know, you know, John said these things right into you that might know that you have eternal life. I know I'm saved. I know my name is in God's book. I know. Amen. My wife is saved. I live with her. That woman loves the Lord. I know my babies. Glory to God. They're going to go on the rapture. I've got some loved ones that aren't going. I've got some people that are Sunday morning saints. I can't get them out of their sin. They'll come to kind of get the conviction off of them. They'll come every once in a while. Y'all probably don't have anybody like that around here. And if the trumpet sounds, I don't know. And some of them I do know, they won't go. They won't go. Their life, the fruit in their life, it's just not. It's not right. If your name's in God's book, will you lift your hands? Will you stand all across this room, those of you that are able to stand? If your name is in God's book, will you lift your hands right now? Hallelujah. Say, "Oh God, keep me. Keep me in the Holy Ghost Church." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know my name is in your book, God. I know if that trumpet sounds, I'm leaving. I'm out of here tonight. But while you're lifting your hands, I want you to think about that loved one. Because from everything I can gather in the Word of God, there's not a lot of hope for that loved one that's left behind, because they have refused to come to the knowledge of the truth. I know there's some that would disagree with me, but that's just the way I see it in the Word of God. I believe God's going to send them a strong delusion so that they would believe a lie. They've had opportunity. Brothers and sisters, I say we pray like we've never prayed before. I say that we tell friends and neighbors like we've never told them before. Amen. Brother Snow, I've invited folks to revival. They didn't come. Keep inviting them. Praise the Lord, you've got a great pastor. Amen, you've got great ministry in this church. And besides that, I encourage the folks in our church, win them to Christ before you get them to the Lord's house. Amen, God wants you to be a soul winner. How many of you say, I know somebody tonight, I want you to come and kneel, and I want you to speak their name. Would you do that? Would you speak their name? Would you speak it with volume? Hallelujah. Would you call out for God to have mercy on their souls? Hallelujah. Will you pray for yourself? Oh God, keep me. Keep me in the ark. Keep me, God, in the Holy Ghost church. A church where sin cannot stay because it's burned up by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can't be comfortable in my sin. Hallelujah. In a Holy Ghost church, there's righteousness. God will deal with you about how you need to live and how you need to walk and how you need to talk. Glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, use me. Help me win my neighbors. Help me win my loved ones. God, anoint me. Anoint me to speak the truth in love. Oh, God, let it be contagious to the sinner. Let it be like salt that produces thirst. Make them thirsty for what I've got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.